welcome back to The Outer Rim. This is episode number 80. I am your host, Chris McGuffin. And once again, Mike and Lindsay are not here, though they're not here for a good reason, because they are currently at WonderCon, having a time, or the time of their life, I'm sure. But you know what? That just means that in 2 weeks, when Lindsay and I are at Celebration and Mike isn't, that he will have to handle the reins by himself. So we'll see how that works out. But in their as their replacement, I've brought on someone that I've not actually had been able to do a lot of podcasting with. So it's nice that we finally get a show to ourselves. Ernie from the Retro Convo and Ghost Stories.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for asking me on. I am happy to be talking about The Expanse. Oh, wait, sorry. No, Chasing Fandom. Wait, no. I'm kidding. I know what we're talking. We're talking Star Wars news. So yeah. I'm actually I appreciate you asking me to come on the show. So.
Well, thanks for coming on. Otherwise, it would be Lou again. So, and I'm pretty sure people don't want that.
I think Lou is tired of Lou, so.
Yeah, he's probably still salty that we took over his show name.
Oh, we love you, Lou.
So, Ernie, how have you been? I know we've not really been able to talk too much recently. You told me before that you're in the middle of a move.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of events kind of happen all at once. So I'll kind of talk about, I'm a new father, so my kid's about 9 months old now. But he happened to teeth, crawl, and like kind of stand by grabbing things all in a like smash of moments here. It kind of just happened all at once. And then on top of that, we had a move. And moving with a kid is not easy, especially when people are limited to helping you on the weekend. So it's been a transition for us, but I am now at on a like first floor, which we were kind of worried about our kid, you know, escaping, because he's an escape artist. That's what he does. So we're on the lower floor, but we also got a patio, which is what we really wanted for those barbecue days. But one of the cool things that I kind of got out of the whole thing was my wife let me set up a podcasting station here.
Ooh.
So the guys from the Retro Convo get to enjoy, and then obviously Mike and I have some projects here we're going to be working on in the future. So
that's awesome.
I'm trying to catch my breath here, and it's been tough, but I kind of see the light here. So,
well, that's good.
Kind of how things have been going.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to take time out of your schedule to podcast with me. I've been all right recently. Winding down the last school semester, and then anxiously awaiting Celebration, of course, all while trying to manage the Random Chatter Network best I can, along with Eric and Lou and everyone else on the staff. So,
yeah, you're definitely the guy behind the scenes doing a lot. So I notice it.
Well, I'm glad someone does.
I was paid to say that. So.
So before we get into the actual news, I do want to make sure everyone is aware of the Celebration events that we will be doing as a network while we are at Celebration in 2 weeks. First, we will be at the Drowning in Moonlight Gala. That will be in honor of Carrie Fisher. I think Toshi Station and a couple other podcasts are the ones that really set that up. It will be Thursday, April 13th. From 7:30 to 10:30 at the Rosen Center Hotel. You can currently get tickets for $40. Just search Drowning in Moonlight on Google, and it'll be like the first or second result. Proceeds go to the Midnight Mission, so this is not a for-profit thing. It goes all to charity. Actually, I have the website here in the notes. If I would just read further down, it's drowninginmoonlight.com. So if you're interested in that, again, tickets are $40. They're still available. And, members of the Random Chatter crew, including myself, will be there. So, lots of good stuff planned for that. Also, we will be involved in a podcast meetup on Saturday, April 15th from 8:30 to 11:30. So this is after the convention is over for that day. It will be at Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar in Disney Springs. And along with us, Coffee with Kenobi will be there, Jedi News, Star Wars Bookworms, and Podcast 66. So I'm sure other podcasters and listeners will attend too. So if you are in the area and would like to come hang out with us and a group of other podcasters, feel free to stop by. It is free, and you do not need a ticket to Disney in order to attend because it's outside the park. So
Springs is actually the former Downtown Disney, which is basically just a shopping center.
So. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I think I did read somewhere that it was the former Downtown Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually went there, 2 years ago with my wife, for our honeymoon, and it's a lot of fun. So even if you, finish early, you know, you guys can go explore, and there's some great restaurants and great places to grab a drink and just chat. So.
Sounds good. We will also be having two separate Random Chatter listener meetups just for, really us as a group. We haven't finalized details completely. We are looking at Wednesday night and Sunday night, for those, and kind of look at it as a pregame to, Celebration and then a postgame to Celebration. I'm sure we'll have a microphone there or a recorder of some kind and, maybe do a little bit of impromptu podcasting, but for the most part, it'll just be for listeners, anyone, to come hang out with us and, just have a chance to get to know us a little bit more personally rather than just hearing our voices. So, we'll have more information about that on our Twitter, and also our website. And in fact, if you visit randomchatter.com/SWC, you will see our Celebration Hub where we have all of the events we're going to. I think there's a link to Drowning in Moonlight there as well. And also any Celebration-related episode, such as the Echo Bay Celebration Prep releases that are coming out right now, those will be there as well. So lots of exciting times on the Random Chatter Network related to Celebration. Ernie, I wish you were able to go.
Yeah, confession, I kind of had a chance to go. I had discussed it with my wife. However, leaving her with my 9-month-old while we're still trying to figure out this parenting thing kind of made me feel guilty. So I decided I better pass up. But I think the next one for sure I will be there. Or I wish it was back in Anaheim. That's the other side of it too as well. So.
Well, the good news is that it won't be happening again until 2019. And everyone's predicting, at least, that it will be at the same time that Star Wars Land opens at both Disneyland and Disney World. So if the trend continues, they'll probably skip maybe an overseas celebration and then just have another one in Anaheim, which...
or Orlando, which I think the rumor is kind of going towards.
Yeah, it really just depends. I mean, anything can happen in the next 2 years, I guess.
Matter could be in Texas. Who knows?
Yeah, they could switch it up on us.
Yeah.
So why don't we just jump right into the news? There's not a whole lot to talk about this week. So we're not changing up the format any, but we're going to have a little bit of a detailed discussion later on in the episode. But I did want to talk a little bit about some of the Celebration news that came out this past week. The rest of the stage schedule was released. If you listened to the last episode, Lou and I talked about some of the partial panels that had been announced because I think they had a few slots that they still needed to fill. So, at the time we didn't know, but now everything is out there. So you really need to start, if you're going to Celebration, you really need to start planning because, trust me, I've not started planning yet and I really need to because it'll catch up for you with you real quick.
I mean, the page is long. You scroll down that page on their website, and it's just like, where do you start? And it can be dizzying. And sometimes I even suggest, like, you know, if you're going to try to plan out a schedule, schedule some breaks in between and kind of walk around, but don't try to hit every panel because it's not going to happen. You're just going to end up hurting yourself or worse. So, yeah, definitely pace yourself.
You know, Ernie, I know you go to a lot of conventions over there on the West Coast. Do you have any tips for people that are going to Celebration, either for the first time or maybe a second or third timer? Because I know that you're not on any of our Star Wars shows except Ghost Stories, so it'd probably be nice if you, as someone who goes to these types of things a lot, weighs in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we go to cons quite a bit here. One of the most important things I will tell anybody who's going to a convention is wear comfortable shoes. That is probably the biggest and best piece of advice I can give anybody. Standing on a hard, like, cement floor all day, like, really plays bad on your knees and your back. So wear some comfortable shoes. Bring your own water, which is a big one. And sometimes I even just say bring snacks because – like I said, these conventions can be overwhelming, and overwhelming in a good way, because you're just going to see nostalgic things that are really going to hit you, and you're going to see people that, I mean, you never thought you would ever see face to face. I remember the first time I saw, like, Harrison Ford, and I freaked out, you know? So just take snacks because everything kind of going on around you, you're going to forget to eat. I know that sounds funny, and especially coming from a guy who, what guy forgets to eat? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, like, seriously, you forget to eat. And so just bring snacks, water, and wear some comfortable shoes. And, most importantly, enjoy yourself.
Yes, definitely. I know when, I went to Anaheim, that was my first Celebration and first convention. So you can imagine how, I'm pretty good with crowds, so I didn't have any, like, claustrophobia or anything, but there were times when I was overwhelmed more about the experience rather than anything physical. I'll never forget, I was walking through, I think it was somewhere near the autograph hall, and I was just walking through, minding my own business, by myself, and all of a sudden I heard the Force theme. And I got goosebumps and kind of started to tear up a little because I couldn't believe that I was surrounded by so many Star Wars fans and was in this moment and thousands of miles away from my home. And it was just a very surreal experience. So if this is your first convention, be prepared for a moment like that because I guarantee it will happen.
It will happen. Yes. It will definitely hit you in the feels and hit you again. So. Mm-hmm.
So they did have some more panel announcements with this stage schedule, but perhaps one of the coolest ones I thought was just announced, I think a couple days ago now, Mark Hamill will be attending Celebration, so he's one of the guests, because I don't think he was announced up to that point, but he is coming, so he is there available for autograph and photo ops. I'm glad I got my photo with him last Celebration because his price has doubled.
Oh, yeah. So, deservingly so.
Yeah. I think I want to say his autograph was about $120-$130 in Anaheim, and I think the photo op was about $110. Now they are $200 for photo op and I think $250 for the autograph. So yeah. if you missed out, I'd probably think about getting it now before maybe it goes up again, depending on his role in The Last Jedi. Who knows? But yeah, he is going to actually be having a panel. He's actually having two panels, but the most interesting one is that he's going to be having a tribute to Carrie Fisher. So I'm not sure exactly what that entails, if he'll just be himself, like, talking about memories and whatnot, or if he's, like, hosting it and he will have other people talk. I didn't take time to read the description. I just saw that it's a tribute to Carrie Fisher hosted right by Mark Hamill, which I think is pretty cool.
And yeah, I think, if anybody has heard Mark Hamill talk, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He can capture anybody's attention quickly. And he loves the fans out there. He calls them UPFs, ultra passionate fans. Like, and he always thanks the fans for keeping the saga going and all the passion that's been from us into the saga. So I can only imagine that it's going to be a discussion, you know, because one thing Mark Hamill does is tell a good story. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe me, you can probably find like some really good episodes on the Nerdist. And the guy just talks and you just want to listen. And yeah. He has a lot to say. So he loved Carrie Fisher. And if we're going to hear some stories out of Mark Hamill about Carrie Fisher, they're going to be so great. Mm-hmm. So I'm only hoping that that's what it is. And it's just not him kind of look at this photo, you know. But
yeah,
knowing Mark, it's probably story time.
Probably. I hope that this is one of the panels that is, if it's not live streamed, then, I hope that it's at least taped and put on YouTube, because that's something that I will definitely want to go back. Cause I don't know if I've not actually looked at the schedule, so I don't know when this panel is taking place. So depending on the whole wristband thing, and what else I want to do that day, might not be able to get into it, so who knows?
That's one of those ones where you're gonna have to wait in line, I bet.
Probably,
and yeah. We'll take away a good chunk of the day.
But if you don't get to see that one on another day, he is doing a solo panel. I think he calls it Hamill as told by himself, or something along those lines, or Hamill by himself. I don't know. And, it's a pretty basic, you know, host talks to actor type thing. I saw his panel in Anaheim and loved it. Like Ernie said, he's a great, great storyteller. And, honestly, I was surprised at how quickly the hour went by.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sure you can go on YouTube and see some of his past things. It's just, it's really like you said, it's really nice to hear him talk, and you can tell that he's very passionate about Star Wars and all of the other things that he's done too. Actually, I'll never forget when when I was in line for my photo op with him. It was the last day of Celebration, so you can tell that someone's probably ridiculously tired, because they've met thousands upon thousands of people. They've done panels, who knows what else behind the scenes. And it was late in the day, probably about like 3 o'clock, and, waiting in line for my photo op. And what they did was they let like, they had the, his area surrounded by a curtain, and you would go up to him, say hi, you know, have quick chat, and then get your picture taken, say thanks, and leave. But while you waited in line, they had like 5 people who could just kind of be like in the room while you waited in the line. And there was a couple guys ahead of me, and one of them asked him to do the Joker laugh.
Yes.
At a Star Wars convention, which I just think is cool. And he obviously was up to do it, and he did it, and he said something else as they were leaving in the Joker voice, which I thought was pretty cool, because I got to hear it in person and not even have to ask it. So I just thought that was great. But
well, the great thing about Mark Hamill is, and gratefully so, like, he's never forgotten who he is. Mm-hmm. And Mark Hamill is essentially us.
Yeah,
he's a nerd. That's what he is. And the first time I realized that was how I got into podcasting, was listening to Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman. And he was quoting things and saying the year a certain comic came out, and would tell you what happened to that character in that comic issue. And he was just babbling on. And so from there, I just knew he's just a nerd. He is. He's us. And so Mark Hamill has never kind of lost that. So mm-hmm. That's just a great thing to hear. Like, and I heard tons of stories like that, you know, yeah. Where he kept his energy there the whole day. So
mm-hmm.
Amazing guy.
So yeah, if you need a actor panel to go to and you're not sure and you don't have like that one person that you're just dying to see, I highly recommend checking out Mark's panel because like I've said so many times before, it's just, he's a joy to listen to and I'm sure you will not regret it. We're also having a Battlefront 2 panel, which... Okay, so Ernie, did you play... are you a gamer?
I was once a gamer until my wife wouldn't let me get a PS4. And so you know what? I had been spending a lot of money on podcasting equipment, so I understand. But yeah, she's kind of stopped it from there. And so it kind of hurts that I didn't get to play Battlefront, even though I heard bad reviews and people mm-hmm. said some things. But I don't know, Chris, get it out. Let's hear the therapy here.
Well, I'll be honest. I've not played Battlefront either.
Okay.
I did play the old ones, but not the new one. And honestly, I care because it's Battlefront, and that's obviously one of the more popular Star Wars games from my childhood growing up.
Right.
But this one it didn't really like have that appeal to me. Like if I had I don't even have a next generation console, but if I do, I would have probably bought it because it's Star Wars and it's Battlefront, but I probably wouldn't have been as engaged with it as, say, the previous ones or, you know, another style of game.
Right.
And it's honestly because I've lost the whole first person shooter thrill, I guess you could say, since my younger days. It's just not something that interests me anymore. And you know, you had like, what, 3 or 4 planets that you could play on and that was it. So I can see where it would get boring. I mean, I get bored sometimes playing a game like Halo and that has, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 maps.
Right.
So I can see why having just, you know, 3 or 4 would be tiring, especially when you just have multiplayer and you don't have like a story mode or anything.
Yeah, and that was the biggest complaint about Battlefront, the recent incarnation of it. And here's the thing, at least my opinion of it. EA is in charge of Battlefront. Now, if EA were to lose the contract with Star Wars Lucasfilm, I think it would be a big hit. So I think they're listening to the complaints here and are definitely going to correct all of that.
Yeah,
because yeah, it's one thing to be in the Star Wars world and shooting up stormtroopers, but if it's consistently the same thing over and over with nothing to refresh it,
yeah,
it definitely becomes tiresome. So I think EA has stepped up their game. I think they learned from their mistakes, but it's EA at the same time. You know,
yeah.
You can't really invest too much in them. So I'm hoping that they take this a little more seriously because, you know, the contract with Lucasfilm is a big contract to have and to be exclusively the person that releases those type of games.
Mm-hmm.
Try to hit a home run. And that's all I can say.
Yeah. I will be optimistic, with the stuff that comes out of this panel. Apparently the game does come out this year, which I would assume it's going to be in the fall, probably maybe around November, maybe even into the winter season. And I hope that they do learn from their mistakes, or not really mistakes, because it wasn't necessarily a bad game. I would call it more shortcomings. I'm not going to go to this panel just because it's not something that I'm that interested in to devote and, you know, plan around my day. So I have more important things that I want to do. But it will be nice to see what comes from it. And like you said, hopefully they maybe bring in some of the maybe prequel planets or maybe a story mode, because I know that's what people were really, really anxious for and didn't get it. So I guess we'll just have to see. So, last bit of Celebration news, one thing I'm personally excited for, and another thing that was just announced today, the first is that Dennis Lawson, who played Wedge Antilles, will be at Celebration doing autographs and photo ops, which is significant because he's never been to a celebration before, and he rarely goes to conventions outside of the UK.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And his autograph and picture, both, are $50 each. So I'm thinking about getting that autograph because don't really care about a photo since he's not someone that I admire that much. But I've always loved Wedge. I love the performance he put in, even though it was pretty short. So, yeah, really thinking about getting that autograph.
It's a good $50 to spend. Yeah. So,
I can think of people that I would not want to spend $50 on.
Well, I think you know, even one of the guys in our Slack channel, Derek, spends about $50 just going to Subway. So, going to Subway for a week, or yeah, getting the Dennis Lawson picture, I'd go with the Dennis Lawson picture. Yeah. Sorry, Derek, I had to do that.
But the other person that was announced for Celebration will actually be not only doing photo ops and autographs, but will also be at the 40th anniversary panel, which is the opening ceremonies, is Anakin Skywalker himself, Hayden Christensen, who has not been to a celebration since 2002. So that is pretty cool. Immediately shut down all the prequel haters who said, or really, honestly, probably prequel lovers who said that Disney hates them. So shut down that, and also stirred up the rumors that he will be in The Last Jedi as a Force ghost. So,
yeah, I think I don't think there's prequel haters anymore. I think they just accept it now, which is good. I think I was one of those people, you know. I absolutely loved the prequels at first until I really thought about them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think people have kind of forgiven Hayden Christensen, and we'll definitely be happy to see him. Mm-hmm. He'll be welcome. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just hope that like when he's announced at the panel for the 40th anniversary, I hope that if there's any booing, because you know there'll always be that one person, I hope that it's drowned out by incredibly loud cheers.
Seriously.
But if you were looking at getting an autograph for Hayden, they sold out within 3 hours. So, yeah, good luck finding another way to get that, because chances are, unless you want to pay one of those scalper prices for it, probably out of luck. But there are still, as of this recording, last I looked, photo ops are still available, so you can get those. So that's all of the celebration news that we have for you. So second bit, and actually last bit of news. So this is kind of going to turn into a mini Echo Base. So Ernie, you picked a good episode to join us on.
Okay, good.
So last week we talked about how Disney was planning for 15 more years of Star Wars content after the sequel trilogy ends in 2020. Now, before I go further, quickly, what are your thoughts on that, Ernie?
Honestly, I'm still trying to wrap my head around 15 more years of Star Wars content. I don't know, like, I'm really excited about it. And then one side of me is scared also, because this is just the franchise I love so much, you know? I'm kind of glad that Disney has kind of stepped in and kind of taken things like the reins and really said, like, okay, so this is part of canon and this is not. Mm-hmm. That part is really cool, because a lot of stuff kind of got convoluted out there. But wrapping my head around 15 more years of Star Wars content is mind-boggling. Yeah. I mean, can I complain? No. No, we're getting more Star Wars. Like, how can someone complain? But I will voice a concern. I'm just a little worried that they may just kind of go over their head a little bit, or maybe the quality of things might get lost. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. if you kind of get repetitive, you know, you start losing quality. So that'd probably be my concern, but 15 more years of content, sign me up. I will be there. So
you and I actually share very similar opinions on this. last week I said that I was obviously excited. I mean, I'm not going to say that I would rather have, a long period of no Star Wars in my life. I would much rather have something at least to look forward to, either on the movie or television side. But, like you, I was also very cautiously optimistic, because I'd rather see quality over quantity. If we get one or two really good Star Wars movies in 5-10 years, I'd rather have that than 5 or 6 Star Wars movies over a 10-year period that were just mediocre.
Right.
Or you had one really good one and the rest were just okay.
Yeah.
Star Wars News Net actually, I don't want to say leaked, but they released an article. I think it was maybe yesterday or something. Said they had a source that seems to have content or information about some of the content that we can expect over the next 15 to 20 years from Disney. And I'll kind of go down the list here, and then we can just kind of one by one go and discuss it. So the first thing was that there would be an Obi-Wan Kenobi film with Ewan McGregor set to return, and that this could be announced as early as in 2 weeks at Celebration. So if that's the case, sign me up, because I love Obi-Wan. I love Ewan McGregor, and that would be probably not a huge surprise, because it's kind of one thing that people have really wanted, but it would be a big shock in terms of, well, I don't know if anyone really expected it this early, especially if it's something that occurs in 2020 or later. Moving on, we have Gareth Edwards could return to direct another film, because people, or when I say people, aside from just the audience, apparently people at Lucasfilm really enjoyed the work that he did on Rogue One. So he could return. There would be a Boba Fett or Bounty Hunter adventure film, which I thought was a very interesting way to word it. there would also be a young adult romance film. So think something like Lost Stars, though I think the article said that it wouldn't be like an adaptation of that book. The Han Solo film, meanwhile, that we're getting will have a comic book vibe to it, which I found interesting because, I'll save my thoughts for that when we get into it. They also had specific quotes from their source saying there seems to be a plan for a hiatus on Star Wars movies, a plan that will happen after a few years after the end of the sequel trilogy. Star Wars on television is going to become a big focus over the next few years. They also said that Lucasfilm will want to deliberately starve the market of Star Wars movies for a time. And this one kind of bugs me, and I can't wait to talk about it. Since Star Wars is a generational thing, there will be a gap between the sequel trilogy's end and the new trilogy's arrival. In other words, there would be a new trilogy after the ones we're getting now, and there's going to be a gap between them. So let's just start from the top, because that's
actually, I would say let's start from the worst to the best so we can end off on a good note. And I think we're going to end off at the same place. So I think the last one you read was probably the one that bugs you the most, right?
Yes.
Let's start there. Let's work that way up.
All right. I can do that. So where to begin? I saw this and at first I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. But then I said, wait a minute. We have Rey, who through one movie so far, we know little to nothing about, except for the fact that she can somehow use the Force and a lightsaber.
Okay.
We know about Finn, who was a stormtrooper on the run. Now he's in the Resistance, and that's about it. We know about Poe, who is a X-Wing pilot in the Resistance.
No, he's not just an X-Wing pilot. He's the best damn pilot in the galaxy.
There you go. But he has a comic book, and that's, again, about
it. That's pretty much it, yeah.
And you're telling me that we're going to have a generation gap, which means that when we get to the trilogy after the sequel trilogy, assuming all of this is true, we're probably not going to focus on these three characters. So in other words, what I'm saying is, you're telling me that in TFA, The Lost Jedi, The Last Jedi, in Episode 9, we're going to have enough content for not only myself, but the rest of the Star Wars fandom to feel satisfied with these three characters.
Yeah, that's pretty tough, man. I don't know what they're doing here. I get that maybe they want to put a break in between.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've had a big break between Episode 6 and Episode 7. Huge break.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a little torn, though, because I will say at the end of Episode 7, seeing Luke again brought a tear to my eye, and I just felt like he looked so majestic. In that sense, if I'm going to miss somebody, and possibly if I do get them in the way we got Luke in Episode 7, I can kind of see that working to our favor.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to Lucasfilm, but to our favor. But that's a tough thing to swallow for us to be like, well, you guys just talked about releasing 15 more years of content. Why only in the trilogies are we kind of getting these gaps, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows, man? I'm kind of with you actually on this. I don't know what they're thinking.
I mean, I get that it's a generational thing. Like, you have the original trilogy generation. You have the probably, honestly, even the pre-prequel generation, those who grew up in the books throughout the 90s. Then you have the prequel generation. Then you have the Clone Wars generation. Now you have the sequel trilogy generation. And I just don't see... Like, you can't artificially make a generation of Star Wars, which I feel like, based on this quote, is something that they would want to try to do. I mean, you can argue that the same people that like or that are getting into Star Wars now, thanks to the sequel trilogy, could be the same people that are still prominent when it comes to, like the Star Wars demographic in 2022, 2023, and so on. So I you're not going to have that. Well, back in my day, we just had 8 or 6 films, and back in my day, we just had 9 films type of person, because it's still going to be pretty much the same demographic. So I don't, if this is the way they're going, I would be perfectly fine with them taking a break in between the sequel trilogy and the one that follows. I just don't want it to be a generational thing or be so long where people might get tired of seeing non-continuous stories, because you would assume that by that point they're going to just make standalones every year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think it works still. You know, it works with the gap that we got from 6 to 7. So I think it works. But yeah, you don't want to force it. That is definitely mm-hmm. the thing you don't want to do. So artificially creating a generational gap is, I think, in a sense, can be a little bit dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But it can work because they've proved it. And we were first in line to buy tickets.
Yep.
So I think... This is a very vague kind of quote also,
because
you can read it 20 different ways. But if, let's say, Rey appears in the next generation of trilogies, I can see that working.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But there's not a lot of detail in this quote. So unfortunately, we can only speculate. So I don't get what they're doing, but I can see that it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, this is probably a good place to move on to the next part about television. It says here that not only will Lucasfilm have a hiatus of Star Wars movies probably after the end of the sequel trilogy, so because they want to deliberately starve the market so that they don't oversaturate it, but Star Wars on television is going to become a big focus, which if it's an animated series, I think that they're doing it completely wrong because it worked with Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Because it was the only thing that one was out aside from novels, and people thought that that was the only Star Wars that was ever going to happen. No one could have predicted that there would be an episode 7 and forward when Clone Wars was out. So that's why that worked. But you can't, I don't think you can pin an entire franchise on just the hopes of an animated series that airs on Cartoon Network or Disney or something like that.
I completely agree with you. Although the thought of a TV series, and one of the big things that's been being pushed out there, there's even like something you can sign, not waivers, but so basically it's just a collection of signatures.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pushing for this Netflix series.
Petition.
Thank you. Yes. There's a petition out there to get like a Netflix series. If that's the direction, please sign mm-hmm. me up. Because I think the difference here with the animation and something live, I've noticed at least, is with the animation, you can only make callbacks to something in canon. Oh, I kind of recognize that from this. But I feel like if it's real life, if it's something that's live action,
mm-hmm.
It becomes what the movies have been.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best example I can give to anybody is how interested people become in Star Wars just by watching the cantina scene. Where does that alien come from? Is that guy a bounty hunter?
Yeah.
What are they serving? That's when the world becomes real, you know? And I think if they go in that focus, and I know it's kind of hinting at the animated part, which kind of scares me a little bit because Dave Filoni just got that new promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they should go with the TV series, and I think they should go with the Knights of the Old Republic, that whole timeline, you know.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the best move. If they're going to starve the market, give us something live action at mm-hmm. least so we yeah. can almost touch and feel it.
Mm-hmm. If it was me, I've long argued for a Star Wars live action series ever since Star Wars Underworld was a thing back in 2005, 2006 when Revenge of the Sith was out. And when I saw that it wasn't happening, it kind of really put a downer on me at the time because I was like, well, no more live action Star Wars. And then we got the new movies announcement. So that kind of put that by the wayside. But, I think if it was me, I would finish Rebels after season 4, go into a post Return of the Jedi animated series. You can feature Luke if you want, just because we have to get that story at some point. And I think people, when it comes to a character like Luke, and when it's something that is so integral to what we see at the end of Return of the Jedi and at the beginning of The Force Awakens, it's something so important that I think they don't want to just put it as a novel, because I think they want to reach to a broader audience than that. So I think if it's something like a Jedi Academy animated series with Luke and Ben Solo, I think that would be fine. Even if it's not that, I would prefer it to be a post-Return of the Jedi series. Have that for a few years while the sequel trilogy is going on, because, you know, all of that ties together. And then, you know, release your standalones, your Han Solo movie, and some of the other things that we're going to talk about here in a bit. And then once that is completed, and once you've told that story, and once you've told the sequel trilogy story, stop with the films for a while, maybe release a standalone here or there. And like you said, have that Netflix series or have that HBO series, have something that will make people feel like they're watching a really, really, really long Star Wars film. Because that's one fault of the prequel trilogy is that George tried to tell many, 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 many years of story in 3 2.5 hour movies, which you couldn't do, which is why the Clone Wars had to be made. And that's really helped that trilogy a lot in terms of the respect and the way that its story is laid out. And I think that if you have, even if it's something that doesn't deal with the saga as a whole, like you said, maybe the Old Republic storyline, or even something completely different than that, I think that's the direction that you have to go, because honestly, the possibilities are something there that you don't get with a film. Like, imagine a new Jedi. Like, imagine if we're still in the Legends timeline and you have a new Jedi Order type TV series. You can easily condense that down into 3-4 seasons of television, depending on, you know, the type of, if it's like a mini series or if it's just a standard TV series. I just think that's the best way to go if you're going to starve the market.
Completely agree with you. Everything you said, perfect. So,
if you couldn't find, or if you couldn't have a Old Republic TV show, what would you want to see? Live action.
Live action? I think they could. Listen, there's so much content out there. It's ridiculous. You literally could take the city of Jedha and make something happen in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right before it was blasted. But I think there's just so much story there. And then Garrett Edwards has recently been kind of releasing more information about Rogue One. And one of the things he said about Jedha was it was actually hit by a comet. And that's what you're actually seeing. It's like kind of like a crater. But just kind of what Jedha was on film reminded me so much of like the city in Tatooine, like the scum and villainy that just happens to be on Jedha.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you can literally just make stories out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Or even like I forget the name of the moon that Cassian goes to in the beginning of the film, which just like it's just all shops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go anyway, and I think I'd still be interested. It could be literally about a scoundrel, a guy who's a Han Solo, but like in another part of the galaxy. It doesn't matter. You put the name Star Wars on there, I think I'm watching. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You won't get an argument from me. I'll be recording every episode. I will be buying everything on Blu-ray and digital content. So
yeah.
I just sign me up. Like, just do it and I'll be there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think they could pull something from Marvel's playbook. And I mean, look at all of the Marvel Netflix series that's coming out right now. And while they're not as successful, maybe in terms of audience as some of the films like the Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that, it's still stories that are worthy of being told, just maybe not on the big screen. Or if they are, if they want to bring a character like, Jessica Jones into a Marvel movie, you can do that because you've already spent time on her Netflix series. Instead of worrying about making this origin movie that may or may not be successful. So I really do think that's something that Lucasfilm should look at if they're not already, because as we are seeing now with the rise of, or the continued rise, I should say, of Netflix and Netflix originals, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, there's so much good content. And the great thing about like Netflix or even Amazon Prime or any of those stations, like you can binge watch it and people talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one thing that can't hurt is to talk about Star Wars. That's what we're doing now. So.
So moving on to more of the film content that was in this article. First up, Han Solo movie that we're getting. And this, if this is the case, gives me a little bit more optimism in the movie, because I do not have it right now.
Okay.
it says that it will have a comic book vibe to it. Now, if it's comic book vibe in terms of something like Logan, sign me up. I loved Logan. If it's something along the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy, also sign me up, because those are two of my favorite comic book movies. And even if they have something that's not necessarily like that, or it's a little bit different, maybe something not as serious and a little bit more wacky, I will take that, because it's something fresh in the Star Wars universe, and I think something a little nonsensical fits the character of Han a little bit, especially a more immature Han than what we're going to see, or what we see in A New Hope. What do you think about this, Ernie? Do you like the idea of a comic book style Star Wars movie?
I had the opposite reaction, I think, to you. I kind of got a little worried. Although you mentioning just even the name Guardians of the Galaxy, yes, I would totally take that. But I think the first thing that came to my mind with comic book style was the first Hulk.
Ooh,
and how terrible that movie was, but like you can kind of see that like he really did make it look like a comic book. Mm-hmm. There was no argument there. It just had no substance. But the one part that kind of worried me a little bit more, and here's why I kind of worried about it, was the pulp action part.
Yeah.
Not to say that I don't love pulp action, because all 80s films are like pulp action basically, and I love those. But the thing I thought of right away was just, it's all Han Solo films. Who plays Han Solo? Well, Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford also did Indiana Jones. Like, all that whole series is all pulp action.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a Harrison Ford thing.
Yeah.
I want it to be a Han Solo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm like you, Chris. I really haven't been on board about the Han Solo film as much. I'm hoping for more obscure stories like Rogue One. So that part kind of worried me. I don't want it to be too comic booky, but if it's going to be Han Solo style joking, yes, you know, or even Han Solo barely escaped by the seat of my pants, yeah, I'll take that definitely any day. But I definitely had a concern.
Now, I'm going to give you the floor with this next one, a Star Wars young adult romance film in the style of Lost Stars.
I'm going to say it's actually a smart move. One, because Kathleen Kennedy wants to get a female director. I think that's great. You know, definitely. That's, I think, a hot topic right now in the Star Wars universe is diversity. That would be another kind of check off the list. Like, see what we've done it before. But we have a series called Rebels, which is actually geared towards more kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a smart move to go in between. Am I going to be as interested in it as like episode 8 or 9? Not really, but it still has the name Star Wars in it. So I definitely will be there to check it out. And I think the romance part doesn't kind of push me away. Not at all, because I thought the romance between Han Solo and Princess Leia was amazing. You know, that was a great story and definitely gives you the feels. But to know that it's going to be kind of teenager-ish, kind of like Mallrat, I don't know. I'm a little weary of that, but I'm still going to be the first in line buying a ticket, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the same opinion. I'm not against the young adult genre, because it's pretty much a genre at this point. I'm not against that at all. In fact, some of my favorite books are actually young adult novels, and I do think that they do need to tap into that market a little bit, especially since we've got the kids stuff, we got the more late teens, early adult, and full adult content. Now we kind of need that in between, and even if they cater, I don't want to say cater, but if their target is just a little bit more on the female side, I think that, and not just with female leads either, if they have that romance part, I think that would attract a type of audience that may or may not see a Star Wars movie otherwise. And it could really captivate them. And even if they don't see any of the other movies or read any of the books, it would still be successful. And one thing too about the having a female director, that's something that, though I want it to happen, I am fine waiting patiently for. I'm not one of those guys that says, you need to have a female director for this movie because diversity. Like, that in my opinion, is just ignorant thinking.
It is.
Because if you're just doing it for the sake of diversity, then you're missing out on potentially making a better movie if you don't focus on that. And not saying that a girl or a woman has to direct a romance movie because girls like romance. But I just think that if that's the direction they're going into, maybe that is the best starting point, because you need a starting point, for, especially if you bring in maybe a younger female to direct this, because you don't want to give, some, 30-year-old just independent film director, you don't want, guy or girl, you don't want to give that job, you don't want to give them the job of directing episode 9. Because that's just, that is potential catastrophe waiting to happen that could ruin their career, and you don't want to do that. So, if this is the case, and it's a way to get not only a new demographic, but potentially the first Star Wars female director, again, I'm all for it. I just hope that they don't lose sight. As all of this we're talking about potentially materializes in the future, it's all, like we've been saying, it's all about quality, not quantity.
Completely agree, and I'll definitely throw in my two cents. Also, yeah, I'm there with you. I can wait patiently as long as the director is good. It doesn't matter if it's a man or woman. As long as the person behind the helm knows what they're doing and has a vision that is going to be in line with the Star Wars universe, yes, put them in. It doesn't matter, female or not, you know. I guess it can be looked at a little bad, like put a female for a romance film. I think Kathleen Kennedy knows what she's doing, and I don't think that was the intent at all. But I still think it's a smart move to get a female director in the Star Wars universe, but not just for the sake of diversity, but it is a good move for diversity's sake.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I think it's honestly more about the fact that if you had to poll a group of even like something as small as 10, 20 girls, put them in a bookstore and said, go to your favorite section, odds are, and this isn't for every girl, but odds are they're going to go to the young adult section. That's just how things are. They're going to flock to those romance novels that they grew up reading in middle school and high school. That's, nothing's wrong with that at all. And obviously not all girls are like that. Some people will go to the sci-fi section. Some people go to the history section. Some people go to the mystery thriller section. It depends on the person. But if that is the way they want to introduce a female director, why not? If the stats support it, go for it.
Definitely.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And to take some heat off of you, Chris, you're talking to the guy who's 35 years old and loves the Harry Potter novels. And that was geared towards like younger kids, basically. So,
hey, I love the Harry Potter books too. So,
hey, there we go. Next podcast.
Yeah. So, while we're talking about directors, let's skip up to the Gareth Edwards bit. What do you think about him potentially returning to direct another Star Wars movie?
My arms are open. Gareth Edwards did a fantastic job with Rogue One. We talked on Echo Base about it, and I did have some qualms here a little bit about Rogue One here and there. But as far as Gareth Edwards and his vision, he did it. He put it on screen, and he knocked it out of the park like four times in one game. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Gareth did. And if he wants to come back, guess what? We're all going to welcome him.
Yep.
Because he knows what we want, and he took us there.
Yeah. I can't agree more. I loved his movie that came out a few years ago, Godzilla. And because he did do that. For a second there, for some reason, I was thinking it was someone else. But I believe I was thinking of the new King Kong movie, because he didn't do that.
No, he didn't do that one. Yeah, but Godzilla was amazing.
Yeah, I would. And I loved Rogue One as well. So I think if he wants to come back for Star Wars, have at it. Because I he's a fan, and you could just tell that he has that vision in the vein of people like George Lucas and Irvin Kershner. George Lucas more in the story and world building rather than the directing part, but definitely Irvin Kershner, who I just loved Empire Strikes Back so much. And I think that movie would not have been the success that it was without Mr. Kershner. So I definitely think that Gareth Edwards, if he returns to Star Wars, like I said, I'll take it.
Yeah, one of the best things that I loved about Gareth directing Rogue One and even Godzilla was his sense of scale.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, the way he did certain things, and I'll tell you right now, I got teary-eyed when I saw the Star Destroyers with the satellite dish going into the Death Star just in the trailer itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that right away, I knew that was Gareth. That's what he's good at. And so if you give him another film, something big, he will scale it for us and make us feel like, yes, that is amazingly big.
Yep.
I'm scared.
So, another thing that, I would be scared about is a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
Now, I know they were supposed to announce this at Celebration Anaheim, and they didn't because Josh Trank backed out of the project for...
No, he had a cold.
Yeah. Yeah. He officially had a cold, but he actually backed out of the project. Probably because of Fantastic Four, which I don't blame him. Or if Lucasfilm is the one that let him go, don't blame them either. I didn't even see that movie, and I know it's bad.
Oh, it's bad.
Not a big fan of this Boba Fett thing. I've never got the appeal of Boba Fett, or just the bounty hunter thing in general. If I had to choose, I'd rather see something about a ensemble of bounty hunters, and if Boba Fett is one of them, that's fine. But I feel like his appeal at this point is just nostalgia. And I kind of feel the same way about Han Solo. People, like we could have had The Force Awakens without Han Solo and Harrison Ford. I really honestly think that his appearance in TFA was just for nostalgic purposes and just to get that Star Wars feeling back in people's blood. And I think the same thing would be with Boba Fett. I think that we have, maybe if you make this movie, in the, like a couple years after, Revenge of the Sith, you have a better shot because you're coming off of the Jango Fett and clone storyline and the introduction of young Boba Fett. But now you just have you have pretty much two generations of fans who didn't grow up with that appeal of Boba Fett. And the further along we get, we're eventually going to have three complete generations of people who just don't have that attachment to him. And at this point, I think it's just, some of the older people that long for that, mystery and intrigue they had about the character when they first saw him in the original trilogy, and that they want that in a movie that I just don't think is needed at this point.
Yeah, I think it's overkill. You know, and you said it. One of the best things about Boba Fett is the fact that he's a mystery. I don't think he needs to go more than that. I'm like you, Chris. I didn't really take interest in Boba Fett. I thought he was cool. But I never wanted to know more about him. If anything, I wanted to know more about his people, the Mandalorians. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, even with the prequels, they kind of left a bad taste in my mouth a little bit about Boba Fett. Because all I keep thinking is that moment when they're in the asteroid field and the kid's like laughing. He's like, ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. That's the way I'm seeing Boba Fett now. Not the way I saw him as a kid before the prequels. Mm-hmm. But for me, Boba Fett should always be a mystery. He should always be just the guy who's like hiding around the corner and can kill you any second.
Yeah.
You know, if he was hunting you, like that to me is cooler than actually making a Boba Fett movie. I think the other side of it is, if it's an ensemble, yeah, I think that's a cool thing to do. But the thing that I loved about Star Wars is you actually know what's good and what's bad, the light side and the dark side. You know, nowadays that we're older, there's a lot of fans that are very Empire eccentric. You know what I mean? They love the Empire. But as a kid, when I grew up, I loved cheering on the good guys. I think it's a little weird to cheer on a bounty hunter.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, and that's just my personal opinion. Because I think now as an adult, hell yeah, like sign me up. I'd love to see some bounty hunters, but I like the idea of bounty hunters being a mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, I like them being an assassin, a silent assassin. That's yep. That's the way they should be. And I'm not on board with a Boba Fett movie. I think this would be the one movie I'd still go see, but I'd be like dragging my feet to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that people that are holding out for this have this predetermined expectation of what they want to see in a Boba Fett movie or a bounty hunter movie that features Boba Fett. And I feel like that Lucasfilm would, if they do end up doing this, I think that they'll do it in a way that will really, honestly piss off a lot of those fans that just love Boba Fett. And I don't think it'd be the movie that they want, and that might hurt. Like, it might be a good film, and it might please a lot of people, but it would probably also really antagonize that the other side. And I don't think this early in the movie making game, in this new era of Star Wars, that we really need that.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Now the last bit.
Yes. We're
obviously saving the best for last. The Kenobi film.
Yes. Please.
You seem kind of enthusiastic about this, so I'll give you the lead.
I think fans have been asking for a Kenobi movie. They have not been asking for a Boba Fett movie, but they've been asking for a Kenobi film, especially now that we have an older Ewan McGregor. We all loved him. And in fact, I wanted to mention a meme I saw today that I thought was just hilarious. And it was a shot of him as Kenobi. And it says, "You're not a man until you have a man crush on Ewan McGregor." I just thought that was the funniest thing, but it's also true because we all have this like man crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
And even just getting a little taste of him on Rebels, which I won't spoil. If you haven't seen the episode, it's definitely worth the watch. You'll definitely form an opinion, but you'll also get the feels on seeing Kenobi again. And one of the things I feel like in Rebels that it got revealed was there's more to his story than just waiting in the desert and watching. Stuff has happened. There's things that he is doing to keep himself in tune, to keep growing and increasing his knowledge of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of story to tell with Kenobi. And the fact that we can get the same actor, it's going to feel familiar,
yep.
You know? So please, if anything, this is the film you need to go with, because mm-hmm. there's no mystery with Kenobi. We know his, like, you know, when he was with Master Qui-Gon Jinn. There's even, you know, some of the comic book stuff that came out with him. We know about, like, the older stuff when he's just like a Force ghost. So if anything, we are familiar with this character. There is no mystery. There is story to tell, yes. But please, this is the way to go. This is what we're asking for.
Yeah, I can't agree. I really can't add anything to what you said. Obi-Wan's been my favorite character ever since I saw episode one. And I got past the mullet stage from Attack of the Clones, because that was a little bit of a weird time for, I guess I was 10 years old when that came out. So for 10-year-old Chris, that was a weird time of my life. But by the time I got to 13-year-old Chris, and when Revenge of the Sith came out, that was a little bit better. As we got closer to what Obi-Wan looked like in Episode 4. So yeah, I'm all about this this potential movie, and the fact that it could possibly even be announced at Celebration makes me really happy. Again,
makes me jealous.
Yeah. Sorry. just the fact that you would have to, I would have to contain my excitement for two Star Wars movies. Like, I was excited about Rogue One, but at Celebration Anaheim, I was really excited about TFA, and Rogue One was in the back of my mind. But the fact that I have to be excited about The Last Jedi and a potential Kenobi movie is just, it makes my head hurt thinking about it, because I don't know if I'd be able to handle it.
Yeah, and the thing about Ewan McGregor that I just absolutely love is he's essentially like a younger Mark Hamill also, and the fact that he's also a nerd. I mean, you hear the stories about him, how they had to keep cutting away from filming because he kept doing the lightsaber noise. Mm-hmm. That's us as kids, you know what I mean? There was just so much charm that he put into that character that, like, I absolutely love the moment where he just jumps in and kind of surprises everybody and goes, "Hello there." And, like, mm-hmm. just two words. And I just flip out and I become like such a geek and a fanboy. Like, please, if you guys are listening to this show, please make this happen, because we need it. We need it and want it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, they did say in this article, and you know, we're having to believe. I know Star Wars News site or News Net is a relatively credible site when it comes to leaks and spoilers. I'm not into that game. In fact, I hate people. I don't hate. That's a strong word. I really dislike people that put out these leaks and these spoilers, because I think it just ruins the fun. And if you try to theorize with someone that knows all about the spoilers, they're like, "Oh well, so-and-so site already said that's not going to happen, so your theory is wrong." I'm like, okay, thanks for ruining it for me. But they did say in this article that there are materials being made for Celebration in regards to a Kenobi movie. So that could hint that it's being announced, which I would love.
Yeah, and Star Wars. Sorry, go ahead.
Weeping in the convention hall if that happened.
Not just you, everybody. Listen, people were weeping when they showed the second teaser trailer to The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. I was one of them.
Yeah,
and I wasn't even there in the audience. I was watching it at home on YouTube. So this is just the way to go. This is the right path. Yeah. You can't go wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I told everyone on Twitter today, I said, because, you know, with people saying that Hayden is going to be at Celebration, people were talking about other prequel actors that could be at Celebration, and obviously Ewan McGregor is one of the bigger names. If that happened, I would stop what I was doing. I would scrounge up the money to get his, at that point, I don't know if I'd want an autograph or a picture. Probably a picture. Just because he's more recognizable. And I would actually get to probably have a little bit more interaction with him. But I would scrounge up the money and immediately buy that, because I don't know if I could find. Sorry, Dennis Lawson. I know you're related to Ewan, but gotta go with him if I had to choose.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I just want to kind of add to that. Star Wars News Net is really reliable. They do get some stories wrong, but if you're really into that kind of stuff, definitely go check out that website. But just be respectful of people's space, especially when it comes to spoiler alerts. People can get sensitive, Chris, about spoiler alerts, and I'm one of them. You know, I want to be surprised, and so definitely check out the site. But just be respectful.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to read the article in full, it's not too long, but it is pretty lengthy. So go to StarWarsNewsNet.com, and I think it is just StarWarsNewsNet.com. Can you verify that, Ernie, real quick?
Yeah, let me click on it here really quick. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right.
Yeah, StarWarsNewsNet.com.
Okay. Yeah, go there, and it'll probably be one of the first articles you see if you're listening to this shortly after we post it. So, yeah, it'll just be interesting to see if any of this plans out, or pans out, I should say. Oh, 15 more years of Star Wars. I don't even know if I could handle 3 more years of Star Wars at this point without my fandom exploding.
If it hasn't already.
Yeah, true. It's kind of close. So we don't have any feedback this week, but I do have a few things that I want to make sure everyone that listens to this is aware of. Man, I cannot talk tonight. It must be because right now it's 2:19 a.m. So perks of living on the East Coast, I guess. But if you are going to Celebration, you really need to listen to the most recent Echo Base episodes. I don't have the number off the top of my head. I think it's somewhere around the 80s, maybe.
Well, you can hear Eric in the background saying it doesn't matter.
Exactly. But we talk about Celebration prep. We do an episode about panels and planning out your schedule and lines and stuff like that. We do an episode about random things that you might not think about, like packing and what to bring with you at the con, what not to bring, stuff like that. And then we also, I think, are releasing an interview that Lou and I did with the guy who runs the Tattoo Pavilion.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Our own Lou Secchi is getting a Star Wars tattoo. So
Salty Lou.
Yeah, so... yeah, we did an interview, I think his name was Sean, and a really good guy. So if you're into Star Wars tattoos, or if you're thinking about getting one at Celebration, or if you are getting one, definitely check that out. So be on the lookout for those. I think episode 1 went live today as we are recording this, and episode 2 should be up relatively soon. I also want to make sure Star Wars fans were aware of the new episode of Chasing Fandom that went up today. I talked to Savannah Kiefer from The Dorky Diva and Jen Marie from Anakin and His Angel about Star Wars, nerd fashion, general geekery, a little bit about the future of women in the Star Wars movies and the role that they can have in the fandom as well. So it was a really good episode. Two separate discussions with them. If you are into any of those topics, or you just want to hear my wonderful voice even more, check out Chasing Fandom. Now, Ernie,
you'll have to ask me onto that show one of these days, because I've got the perfect episode for us, Chris.
On your show,
basically.
What is it?
All right. So you and I have a love and passion for some older music, some big band stuff, specifically talking about Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. It's going to require some money and some vacation time. I think you and I should go to Vegas and, like, go and see the show that they have, where they have the reenactors, mm-hmm. like, doing it on show. That's going to be our episode, talking about that and, like, doing live How amazing would that be?
That would be so much fun. I've always wanted to go to Las Vegas ever since I was little. I told my mom, this was like probably when I was like 6 or 7 years old. I told my mom I wanted to go to Las Vegas to see the lights.
So, there's a lot of lights.
Yeah. There's also a lot of other interesting sights there too. So, oh man, that would be fun.
Wouldn't it? That
would be fun.
Well, you know what? Even just to talk about Frank Sinatra, I think it's just fun, period.
Yeah, so. I could go on and on and on and on about Frank Sinatra.
I know you can. But I'm actually part of a show called The Retro Convo, and our show is basically just talking about the nostalgic things we grew up with. You know, when we started that show, it was just one of those things where the guys would separate from the girls, and next thing you know, we're talking about Nintendo games. And that's kind of how the whole show started. So our recent episode is going to be on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Ooh. I just watched that like last month.
It still holds up, man. And, and that's why we do that show, is because we love these movies. We love these games. And it just, we realize how much it made, you know, us into who we are today. So it's just a fun show to do. And then, the award-nominated Ghost Stories, which I do with Mike and Lindsay, that one's actually a big passion of mine because I love Rebels. And we were fortunate enough to have you on the show, Chris. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we just sit there and break down the episodes. The season did end, but we are waiting to hear the news for season 4. And hopefully they have something to give us. And I can't wait to do the next season on that.
So what are you going to do during the off season?
I'm going to learn to play chess, apparently, because I don't know. Like, I think we should go back and revisit some of the older episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do that, or at least maybe do an episode that each one of us absolutely loved. And so who knows? I'm going to throw the ideas out to Mike, but I don't count us out yet. Yeah, I think we'll definitely throw some in-between season episodes.
Sounds good. You know, you should work on getting some interviews. Because I'm sure there's some cast members that would love to talk to you.
And I'd love to talk to them. So.
All right, everyone. Well, I think after a pretty long episode of Outer Rim compared to, one, what I was thinking, and two, what is usual... but hey, that's just what happens whenever Mike and Lindsay aren't here, and I can do what I want freely. if you like what you heard today, let us know. We have a variety of places that you can contact us at. First is our email address, outerrim@randomchatter.com. That goes to myself, Mike, and Lindsay, so we will all three see it. If you want to get a message to all three of us, you also have our Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. Derek does a great job at managing that and making sure that he gets all the posts up and all the episodes posted. Also generates a little bit of discussion on there too. So shout out to him for that.
Mr. Subway himself.
Yeah. I'd make a joke right now, but I don't think it's appropriate for this podcast.
Then continue.
You can also find us on Twitter at Outer Rim Podcast. Shout out to Joel for helping out with that. You also have our network Twitter at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lindsay's Twitter is at Betty Bloodshed. That's BETTIE Bloodshed. Mike's Twitter is at It's the Rocketeer. And Ernie, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is at Yeah Buddy Ernie.
That is a wonderful Twitter name.
It kind of became a thing for me because I kept going, yeah, buddy. So that's how I got it. Support the network. One of the things that we love is feedback. And one of those things that you can do for us is leave some reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. It doesn't matter what app you use. We would love the feedback. Even if you don't like it, let us know. We'll definitely correct it. But also, we are part of Patreon. Patreon helps us keep the podcast lights on, so to speak. You can find us on patreon.com/randomchatter. And one of the things we ask, guys, is that you spread the word and tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is probably the best way that you can help us out. Also, we have a variety of podcasts, lots of Star Wars shows, this one included. We also have Echo Base, Ghost Stories, but we also have other subjects on the network, which is great. So if you're into other things, you'll definitely find it on our network. One of the things that you started, Chris, was The Expanse, which I haven't started watching yet.
Oh,
but
Ernie.
I know you're pumping that thing up.
You're breaking my heart, man.
Hey, but here's the thing. Because you're so into it and keep promoting it, I'm going to watch it as soon as I get the chance to. So. Okay.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, what you need to do, you need to go to Amazon streaming, or Prime, whatever it's called. I don't use it. So, this is just me giving you good information. It's on the season one is on Amazon, whatever it's called. Season two is currently airing. I think I want to say there are three episodes left, I believe, of the season until it wraps. But there is already season three, so I'm sure season two will show up on Amazon at some point. But watch it, and then go back and listen to The Crash Couch, because, well, we didn't get to for the first season. We kind of did like a quick summary of a group of episodes. But we're doing one podcast episode per TV episode, so it's really fun. And if anyone else likes The Expanse, go listen to that podcast. It's called The Crash Couch. And if you're not watching The Expanse, you're wrong, and you really need to.
Oh, apparently I'm wrong. Thanks, Chris. also, the main hub show, Random Chatter, which is just a variety of entertainment subjects. So definitely check that out. And if you find Chris's voice annoying or shrieky, we definitely have some written content on the website as well, with movie reviews, TV, book reviews. It's all there. We're about to start the blog post as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely check out our website, randomchatter.com.
All right. Finally, the music you hear at the beginning of this podcast is the Star Wars main theme by a band called Galactic Empire. They're a group that released an album on Rise Records of all Star Wars music in a rock and metal style. It's actually a pretty good album. I was very weary because I've heard so many bands try to play, you know, the Imperial March or something like that in with a guitar. And usually it just makes me, get really, really annoyed really fast. But this was a really good album. I'll get around to doing a review of it one of these days. Probably for either our website or theforce.net. So, yeah, check that out. It's a self-titled album, so it's just called Galactic Empire. So if you like our intro theme, then you'll probably like the rest of it too.
Yeah, because nothing is more metal than Star Wars.
Exactly. All right. Well, Ernie, thank you so much again for filling in for Mike and Lindsay this week. Who knows? during Celebration, assuming Mike can record, or I should probably make Mike record.
You should.
I technically, I am an admin at Random Chatter, and I'm the primary host of this show, so I should be able to say, Mike, man, you gotta take the reins. Maybe he can have you back on to discuss whatever is happening at Celebration at that time.
Yeah, for sure. I'd definitely love to come back, and we'll help you out, Mike.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening to The Outer Rim. We'll probably have one more episode before Celebration, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, take care.
Hey! Sorry, folks! I'm sure to do better next time!
This podcast is copyright to RandomChatter.com and is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Disney. All music and sounds are copyright to their respective owners.